I did this against everybody else's opinions. You know, everyone said, Avery, you're not going to be a professional runner. And I said, yes, yes, I am. And it felt like, you know, my last couple years of racing have been great. And I'm finally starting to like really get this figured out. And now it all just came to an end just that fast.
This is the Adventure Sports Podcast, where we hear stories of adventure from every corner of the planet. We interview all sorts of folks who are using their sport to explore the world around them and give you the inspiration you need to get out there and have some fun. Hey folks, hope you're having a wonderful week. Today's episode is actually from my other show, Without Compromise. You've heard me, you know, play these episodes on Thursdays before, because Thursday, remember, is our throwback Thursday episode day. But, you know, every once in a while, I want to throw in something from my other show when it makes sense to have it on this show. And so Without Compromise is kind of similar to Adventure Sports Podcast, but we focus on, you know, shorter episodes around 30 minutes, and it's folks from the athletic brewing community. And so if you don't know, my day job is with Athletic Brewing Company, and you know, it's kind of crazy. We make non-alcoholic craft beer. I can hear you rolling your eyes. That's how hard you're rolling your eyes right now. But trust me when I say it's an incredible product. We've had so many people from this show say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you introduced me to Athletic Brewing, because now I have a way to cut back on my alcohol intake. And the reason we make non-alcoholic craft beer is because there's so many reasons folks are wanting to cut back on alcohol. But as you know, in the outdoor industry, in the adventure industry, beer is everywhere. Beer is with everything. If you ever go to outdoor retailer, the big trade show, it's like every hour is happy hour. Every hour of the day, it's kind of wild how much you can end up drinking there. So it's wonderful in times like that, or if you're training, or if you're a parent, to have a non-alcoholic craft beer that is really good. So anyone listening to the show, if you want to, you know, send me a message or something, send me an email, Mason at adventuresportspodcast.com. I'll send you a discount code, let you try it, because it's sweeping the world right now, but definitely the nation. And it's kind of cool because y'all know me, I'm totally up for a challenge. And so, you know, working in an industry that is so new, so perplexing to so many people is exciting, because that's what we talk about here all day on the Adventure Sports Podcast anyway, doing things outside the box, doing things differently, and not being afraid to chase essentially a crazy idea. So I love doing that for my day job as well. And I encourage you to check out that show, Without Compromise. We've had a lot of very interesting guests, and it is very similar to this show, just really shorter. That's the only difference. And so for some of us, maybe that makes more sense on a, you know, if your commute's 20, 30 minutes, you can knock out a whole episode and not have to pick up where you left off. So I encourage you to check it out. Encourage you to give Athletic Brewing a shot. This sounds like one big ad, but it really isn't. I'm just excited about what we're doing, and it's really fun to constantly be thinking of thinking outside the box. And this show has just been such a great conduit in my life to do that, and I hope it has in yours too. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Avery Collins. He's an ultra runner. He does some crazy stuff. He wins huge races like the Georgia Death Race. Nolan's 14 is a route here in Colorado that he's going to be attempting to get the fastest known time on this summer. And his story, you know, took a really hard turn at one time. So I hope that encourages you as well, because we're all probably looking to make changes these days. So enjoy. Crazy week in the world, and we hope that you're using your voice to make a difference. Yeah, we just wanted to talk to folks on this show that are also making a difference, also pursuing crazy ideas. Today we have Avery Collins, one of our athletes from Colorado. Avery, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I hope I'm making a difference. I don't know. That's actually, you're making me question myself.
Well, man, that's where it starts. No, you're making a difference, man. You're pushing boundaries. You're doing things just like we are here. And dude, so you're in Colorado, but I honestly, when I researched you, you were kind of in a different spot each time. Where is home for you now? And like, what is your home base?
Yeah, we're in my girlfriend Sabrina and I live in Silverton, Colorado, in the San Juans. Yeah, in the last few years, we've bounced from Steamboat Springs to Breckenridge to living out of a camper in Buena Vista, Ouray, Leadville. But home base now is in Silverton.
Hey man, Silverton's kind of out there. Like, what made you choose that area?
500 full-time residents. It's super quiet. It's the one of the few places that majority of the year you can go out and run a service road and not run into anybody, let alone I'd say 99% of my runs on single track or up on high alpine ridges, I don't see anybody. I mean, for weeks on end. So it's just I think the draw was we were somewhere that wasn't real nichey, like Boulder per se. Like, you know, we're not running into other runners all the time. It's just like our own private playground. I mean, there's just tons and tons of mountains.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. I live in Denver, and it's a little overwhelming the amount of incredible athletes. It's a little bit discouraging almost sometimes how, like, every time you open your mouth to somebody, they're an Olympic athlete. And it's like, well, I haven't done anything then. You know what I'm saying? So it's nice to, like, get some space and just build up your confidence. And you, man, every time I follow you on Instagram, and your pictures are unbelievable. Silverton is just stunning. It looks like it's straight out of the Alps. Like you said, super small town, and I'm sure you just have unbelievable adventures there all the time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal, man. I just like a little background. Most people don't realize this, but 354 of Colorado's 13ers are all right there in the San Juans.
Holy cow. And if I'm not mistaken, that's probably half of them, because I think there's like 600 and something 13ers. I might be wrong, but that's a
A half or
ton.
third. Yeah,
Did you
yeah.
grow up in Colorado? Where is home for you? And also, have you always been a runner, or did you do something else before?
No, I grew up in Indiana, and spent all my summers in North Carolina with my grandparents going to basketball camp, which lead me to say I was a basketball player my entire life. I mean, from I don't know, 3 or 4, I started playing, and then I played up until like travel ball through high school, and then in college, kind of gave it up to an extent. I was playing men's league, and then that's essentially when I actually got into running was in college. I couldn't afford a gym membership anymore, and just figured I needed to stay in shape one way or another. So I started running, and I just, man, it just caught on quick.
Wasn't your first run just a few miles or something, and then it just kind of exploded?
Exactly. Yeah, just a few miles in the neighborhood. I got into ultra running, and I was doing more Midwestern races for 6 to 9 months. And then I did this underground run. It's called Pitchell. It's just this 67-mile run. I did it with these buddies, and it was just like a for fun thing. And it was just, I don't, there was something about the Sufferfest that came with the mountains that I really loved. And that was first in Asheville. So I started making these trips out to Asheville every weekend while I was living in Indiana.
Oh,
And
wow.
then, you know, sure enough, I eventually made my way out to Colorado, which was about 7 years ago now.
Wow, man. Can you talk about, like, a lot of us have like a traditional sports background, then we kind of find this endurance sports later. What was it about running that just maybe made you gravitate towards it versus basketball or some of the more traditional sports?
You know, at first, I think I was ignorantly, I thought that I was good enough to, like, from the start, I really was questioning, like, I think I could actually make something out of this. Like, I think I could be as good as anybody else, with no real backing behind that. And then I just started following that, and I found that, you know, the longer the race got and the harder the race got, I seemed to shine through a little bit more. And I think that's ultimately what led to the mountain running. It's just, I think the level of difficulty that came with it was something I could embrace and really enjoy. And it just, that grew and grew to the point where now it's, as you do more and more of these super long races, you know, 100 miles, 200 miles, they become less and less painful. And they always suck, but I think you mentally you just become more used to it. And yeah, it's such a hard thing to explain, but it's like anything else. You know, you put 10,000 hours in, and you're bound to get pretty good at it.
No, that's definitely true. And the suffering becomes maybe more familiar, or you know the pattern of it maybe, or that you know that it's going to pay
Exactly.
off.
Yeah. And
Wow.
especially, it's clock, you know, it's kind of clockwork, especially in like a 100-mile race. And I haven't done boatloads of them, but I've done enough to really know how they work. And now it's clockwork. I know mile 40, a little bit of a downfall, and then I pick back up again. And typically my miles 50 through 80 are always tremendous. And then it's always just, it's just gutting it out in the back end of the race. Those things don't typically change a whole lot. The things that do change are, you know, the smaller things, like maybe avoiding rolling an ankle for a race, or it might happen three or four times. There's all these kind of little punches you take, and it's just a matter of how you deal with them as they occur.
Sounds like a life lesson to me.
Exactly, man. Seriously.
So early on, was there a particular ultra or a particular race that, I don't know, or experience or story that you have, something that was pivotal for you that kind of led you on this path where you could have gone maybe two ways?
Yeah, man. And like, I feel like I could tell you some like glamorous, sexy story of, you know, winning some race. And, but that's just not the case. That's not, I don't think we learn really. I mean, we learn when we win and when we do great, but we learn so much more when we, you know, expose failure. And I would say the greatest turning point for me in running was the very first 100 I attempted, which was not a mountain race. It was actually a fairly flat race in Ohio called the Burning River 100, and I went into it thinking that my training was going to cut it, and almost knowing that it wasn't enough, but I was going to rely on athleticism to get the job done. And it didn't work that way. And I was getting passed left and right, and ended up dropping at mile 70. And from that day on, my training changed significantly. I realized that, like, this wasn't something that was just going to get handed to me. And if I really wanted it, I couldn't solely rely on athleticism.
So you didn't finish. Wow. I feel like that could be pretty crushing, you know, especially the first one to say, like, why the hell am I doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was September, October of 2013. And then I believe the next summer was my first 100-mile finish, and that was the Fat Dog 120 in British Columbia. And that was actually a pretty big mountain race.
Wow. What was that feeling like to finish after not?
Yeah, it was amazing, man. I mean, I think what was most amazing was seeing how much my training had paid off. I really worked hard that entire summer, and that was actually the summer I moved out to Colorado. And I was working two or three jobs at a time. And like majority of my runs would be 8-9 o'clock at night. And then I'd run till midnight with my roommate and real, real good friend, Devin. We just did, I mean, that was it. It was work and run, period. And it was super eye opening because the race itself was, did I have low points? Absolutely. But overall, it was nothing like that race, that flat race I did in Ohio. Like it was very, very clear that if you're willing to put the work in, it's going to pay off. I mean, everybody says it, but you know, that was, for me, it was very real.
And if I'm not mistaken, you placed in that race, correct?
Yeah, I finished third.
Wow, man.
And then full circle, I ran that race again just this past summer.
and you won.
Yeah. It was a lot longer race too. This year, it ran about 135 miles for me this year. And that was just due to a slight course change. They added a couple more mountains. And then I also ran off course for about 5 miles. But it was, you know, I had just last summer come off of an injury. So to be able to do that was, oh man, it was pretty amazing. I had a pretty rough winter leading up to that race. So to not only be able to finish, but then also be able to say, like, look, 6 years ago, I ran this race 9 hours slower and the race was shorter.
And you won. Like, that's pretty incredible. So you mentioned an injury, and I heard someone mention something about that, but I couldn't get a lot of information. What was that? Like, do you mind explaining what happened? I don't know. If it's off limits. Please, you know, if it is, don't worry about it. But like, what mentally, what was that like to get through? How did you process that? Because a lot of people are going to face that at some point.
Yeah, and it wasn't a very basic injury, which was definitely the biggest bummer. It wasn't like a simple, because I've had hamstring problems in the past, like things that you can work through via stretching, functional strength, seeing a PT every once in a while. But my girlfriend and I got into an accident. We were hit by a semi truck at about 65 miles an hour, and we were at a standstill.
Oh my God.
So we got our clock cleaned. And then 2 weeks later, I ran Tour de Jean, the 200 mile race through the Italian Alps. And I think just the combination of the two really, really did some major damage to my back. And I, long story short, I went through a lot of different doctors and this, that, and the other, and eventually found, went back to this gentleman, Steve Warfel. He's absolutely phenomenal PT. And he had me fixed in no time, but I had multiple displaced ribs, four or five displaced vertebrae, displaced ankle bone. My knee wasn't tracking right. And my hips and slash pelvis were totally unaligned. And I know I'm not putting everything in layman's terms, but I was a complete utter mess.
Messed up.
Yeah, and it caused extreme back pain. I couldn't like walking hurt really, really, really bad. So running wasn't even an option at all. I mean, I went months where once every 8 to 10 days I'd go out and try to run just a mile, and I couldn't do it. And I started seeing Steve, and like everything turned around pretty quick. He was a huge help, and now I try to stay on top of all that stuff with functional strength and lots of yoga, because the back, unfortunately, it's not perfect. It's something I still have to work with daily. And, you know, honestly, I think the back injury was something it was a blessing per se, because I was into snowboarding at the time. And for whatever reason, snowboarding didn't seem to hurt on my back, which was shocking, but it really drugged me into getting into snowboarding much more and more like mountaineering style. So I started doing a lot of vertical per week, climbing on my split board up the mountain in Steamboat. And then I slowly eased my way a couple winters ago into backcountry. And then this past winter, I, you know, really went in full tilt in the San Juans and got a good group of friends behind me, and ended up doing about 80 days in the backcountry. And 50 of those days I summited a peak. So it brought me into a sport that I found that I don't like it as much as trail running, but it's incredibly close, and it allows me to actually recover and kind of just switch gears through the winter and like mentally just get over the exhaustion that you go through training all summer long.
That's really interesting. You mentioned that. I've talked to a lot of athletes that are really well known for something, and you talk to them how they got into that sport, and it was because an injury forced them to try that sport. And then they ended up loving it. Not in your case, but like a lot of people find like an even deeper passion for something else. And I hear it over and over again. It's like, well, what are the chances at, you know, mid-20s I've found the biggest thing I'll ever be passionate about? It's pretty low because I haven't tried everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what's crazy. What else could you possibly be really good at?
Exactly.
You may never find out.
You just never had that chance. Like you could have, you know, you spent all these years playing basketball. What if, I don't know, it would have been something else random. There's just no telling. And so that's kind of the weird opportunity that an injury can bring if, you know, you want to look at it that way. But it's also totally understandable if it's pretty freaking devastating at the same time, because, you know, you know you love things. And so when you can't do it, it's pretty crushing. So, man, you've mentioned not being able to run a mile. I mean, how hard was that for you?
You know, the hardest thing was I was genuinely questioning my decision making for the last 7 years. And it was incredibly difficult. And like I had like super, super meltdowns and breakdowns. And like luckily Sabrina was there and helped big time, because like I'm going on 6 months no running, and I just dedicated the last 7 years of my life to this. I dropped out of school for this, and I did this against everybody else's opinions at the end of the day. You know, everyone said, Avery, you're not going to be a professional runner. And I said, yes, I am. And, you know, like I was questioning all that stuff. And like, did I really like kind of like reach? It felt like, you know, my last couple years of racing have been great, and I'm finally starting to like really get this figured out and being able to go overseas and race. And now it all just came to an end just that fast. And, you know, obviously, luckily, you know, it worked out. And in the grand scheme of things, you know, obviously 6 months isn't a very long time, but in that moment, it just felt like it was never going to end.
Avery, that's really inspiring to chase something so hard. And then to have it taken away right when you feel like you're making it, it feels so unfair, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure you felt that. But what would you say were maybe some of the bigger motivators or biggest things that kept you focused? Because that's a lot you're going up against at that point.
I started being, I guess, realistic with myself. And at the end of the day, I was thinking, I'm an athlete. Like, that's just what I do. And I started looking at, I was going to get a gravel bike. I already had been cycling and had a road bike and mountain bike. And I started seeing how the gravel bike scene started erupting, and it kind of reminded me of trail running, and I'm not a very good mountain biker. And I just started really looking into gravel bike races, and I was getting really close to, I was actually working with a buddy through a company called Y Cycles, and was going to get a hookup on a bike through them. And like, I was really about to become a cyclist. I was thinking like, I don't want to go back to work, so I guess I better get good at something else.
That's awesome, man. And you know, that's honestly an awesome area for that too. I hate to just dwell on this so long, but it just seems so pivotal.
Yeah.
So man, all right, you come back from that. You win the Fat Dog last year. Got to just be so many emotions going through your head. Was there kind of, I mean, where do you go from there? What were your sights set on at that point? Was it more of these events? Was it more kind of FKT challenges? You know, was it growing the business side of your brand, I guess? Like, what was it for you after that?
Well, going into the summer, my main focus was actually supposed to be Grand Raid Diagonal de Fou on Reunion Island. It's actually the biggest field size race in the world. Most people don't even realize that, but it's like 3,500 runners. And it's super, 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 super gnarly and technical. And I got a little, I'm trying to get better about this, and I have over the years, but after the injury, I was impatient. Like once I got back into running, all I wanted to do was prove to myself I still had it. And so I jumped into a 50K in May and did pretty well. And then I jumped into, I feel like I may have done one more race in June. Oh, I did another race in June and unfortunately missed a turn and cut up like 3/4 of a mile off the course on accident. It's a long story. Mm-hmm. Anyways, race director calls me the next day and was like, "Hey Avery, do you remember checking in the aid station?" I was like, "Honestly, I have no idea." And then she described the course and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no." And she gave me the option of a time penalty or a DNF. And I was just like, "That's not fair to anybody else. I'll just take a DNF." So it was unfortunate, but anyways, and then I popped into Fat Dog really more out of like, "Oh, I just want to run 100 miles and once again, prove this to myself." And I wasn't really thinking long-term, and long-term was October. That was Grand Raid. And after Fat Dog, I had just a kind of a minor IT band injury that kind of pulled me out of running for about 6 to 7 weeks. And I just swapped it with a lot of, I got into climbing quite a bit and then doing some mountain biking again. And then ultimately, you know, unfortunately had to drop from the 100-mile distance to the 120-kilometer distance at Grand Raid. And I ended up doing well. It was just the learning lesson there was like, I really, when I say I'm going to do something at the beginning of the year, I need to be patient and I need to work towards that goal.
Rather than what, just kind of going all out in a short amount of time?
Yeah, just getting caught up in, you know, the race season, like you just get excited and you see all these awesome things everybody else is doing. And, you know, knowing you're capable of whatever it is, you want to go out and you want to do it as well. And it's just, and the race was in October. So it's like, you got to go through the entire summer of all your buddies racing and you're just sitting around waiting for your A race to come at the very end of the season. But the plan, after the injury was go do Grand Raid, because this is the biggest, baddest race out there. And unfortunately, due to my impatience, I had to drop down to the shorter distance, which was still a competitive, like 1500 person field. It just wasn't the race I was supposed to be doing that day.
Hmm. So since then, you know, I know things are kind of all on hold right now. How have you been getting through, you know, talking about patience and all this, how have you been getting through right now with quarantine and everything being either postponed or going virtual? How have you been dealing with that? Is it just, you know, another little challenge to get through, or has it been pretty big deal?
No, hasn't been a big deal at all. It's actually, Sabrina and I feel really, I mean, we're definitely grateful, and it's just really wild to see what's going on in the cities and like how life has been for the last 3.5 or 4 months. It's absolutely crazy, especially from the bubble that we're in. Our town was shut off. You couldn't even come into our town. If you didn't live in Silverton up until like a week ago, you'd get a serious fine for just driving into our town. So we were shut off from the world, and I would say things felt semi-normal within our world, and we didn't have to be stuck in our homes or anything. I mean, we were out running mountains every single day. Nothing changed. Like, literally nothing changed for us except for the fact that, like, we got to put a mask on when we go into the grocery store. And we're definitely grateful for that. And we realize where we're at and what we have. And it is it's so hard to watch. We don't have cable, so we don't watch the news, but like, we'll listen to podcasts, and just to hear all the crazy stuff that's been going on, it's really unbelievable. But we've just, I mean, things haven't changed a whole lot. And as far as racing goes, to be perfectly honest, this has been amazing. Like, this is what running is. Racing is not running. And my buddy Devin and I were talking about this a week ago when I was out visiting him to do some running. And it was like, I don't understand. I personally can't understand people just being so caught up that they need to do races, and like, if their identity is wrapped around doing racing, and like, that's not run. Like, think about what you did the very first time you went for a run. You weren't going for a run for the first time because you wanted to race. Like, that's not why you did it. And that's been the best part about our spring and beginning of summer so far, is like, we don't have to do any racing. Like, you know, I'm just going out and bagging peaks every day because that's what I like to do. And I don't have to really have any kind of real plan going into it until, as of lately, we did decide both Sabrina, or I'm going to for sure be doing a FKT, and so will Sabrina more than likely. Like, beyond that, this is better. This is great. I mean, I'm going to have to, like, obviously racing is something we need in our lives to continue our lifestyle and what we're doing. But for the time being, like, this is the most natural, raw state of running that you can possibly have.
That's a really good reflection, man. Like, it does make you stop and think, why am I doing this? Why am I into this? And
yeah,
if you are wanting just that pure, just running, you got it right now, especially you where you are. Do you think you'd be attempting this FKT without the quarantine happening?
No. And that's what's so great about it. It's an FKT that I've been wanting to do for about 4 or 5 years now, but I've never been able to do it because, I mean, racing kind of takes priority, especially when it comes to maintaining sponsorships and so on and so forth. And that's where, you know, that's where the credit comes from, is the racing. And now that there isn't that, now I get to do something I've always wanted to do, just haven't had time for it because it's such a big obligation.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, this might not be some sanctioned event, but, you know, tell us about this FKT, because if you achieve this and do this, you're going to have some serious cred in the running world, some serious cojones. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal if you make this happen. But yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
Sure, man. So I'm actually talking to you from Leadville, which is not home. It is home to the Sawatch Mountain Range, and the FKT that I'm going to be doing, it's called Nolan's 14. It's actually kind of a bit of a classic route, however, hasn't been done very many times. I think 24 people have finished it in the last probably 25 years or so. Anyways, it's an approximate 100-mile traverse across 14 14ers. You know, there's definitely some routes that make a lot of sense. However, the beauty of it is, beyond the start point and the finish point, it's an open route, meaning all you have to do is summit all 14 14ers, and you can take any route you want to get up and down them, which typically entails some like class 3, and depending on the route, maybe just a little bit of class 4 off trail scrambling. And it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's definitely a culmination of my training in the last couple of years, spending our time in the San Juans. And it's kind of become the more apparent thing that I should be doing. And it's just, you know, it's a really big mountain objective. So Sabrina and I are in Leadville right now, just kind of training and scouting all the 14ers and making sure that, you know, we can link these mountains up properly without making any major mistakes. And the current records held by Alex Nichols, which is 46:41, I think, or 46:50, something like that.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, man. When are you attempting it, and how can people follow along with that?
I'll probably be doing it in July. I'm not really telling. I'm not telling anybody when
okay.
I'm doing
it.
I'm just not telling anyone.
I mean, be something that other people are planning too. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, for sure. And you know, I've got a good group of friends that are going to come out and crew and pace me. Obviously, they have a pretty general idea when I'm going to go for it. But you know, honestly, the time spent out here on the route, it's not very intimidating. Sabrina and I understand the difficulty of it on the, you know, the full extent of the course, because it is anywhere from like 42 to 46,000 feet of climbing and descending. With that being said, I've done races with that much climbing and descending, and I spend all winter and summer like once a week, if not 3, 4, 5 times a week above 13K. So it, like, honestly, the trails out here are really nice. So the trail that you do have on course, which I feel like people don't quite give enough credit for, is really good, at least compared to San Juan running. It's pretty clear the rock out here is way more bomber and just like reliable, whereas in the San Juans, every step you take, the rock moves underneath your foot and you just get used to surfing all the time. Just this, I don't know. I know for most people, they might think I'm kind of like out of my mind saying that the route's not as bad as I think most people make it seem.
You know, I think it's just people talking about it might be used to just more sanctioned races. So it is, and it is, like you said, kind of a classic route. A lot of people have heard that name, Nolan's 14, have heard the stories or the reputation that follows it. But
the difficult part's the navigation at night. You know, there's no markings. You know, there's finding your way up on ridgelines at night is fine and dandy. The problem that I think most people have, and I'm hoping to avoid to some extent, is once you're down in the woods, you can't see anything and you need to really trust the direct line you're taking so you can get to the next mountain. And that's definitely the consensus that we've gotten from our friends and the people we know that have done it.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I appreciate this. If you don't mind, I'd love to wrap up with like 5 or 6 rapid fire questions. Yeah, man. So what has been your favorite high, peak, success? Like, what has been your favorite, maybe most memorable achievement in the running world?
You know, probably most recently, Trail to Bourbon, Grand Raid, that 120K, just because the lack of training, like I crammed it all into one little small amount of time, and then just, you know, kind of found out that I could just tough it out and like really rely on mental strength.
So what would you say you're most curious about right now outside of running?
Progressing my snowboarding, to be perfectly honest. Last year I got my first snowboard sponsorship, and I just kind of want to keep progressing there.
Cool, man. Yeah, maybe we'll be talking about that on another episode.
Yeah.
What's your proudest achievement outside of your career, running career?
Man, you caught me off guard with that one. I didn't finish college. I went straight from like college to running. Managing to keep a girlfriend for more than 4 months.
I get serious. Congratulations, man. So it's been at least 4 months.
We're on 4 years.
Oh, shoot.
And prior to that, I had never had a girlfriend longer than 4 months. Yeah. Well,
congratulations. She sounds like she's been there with you through a lot. So I think y'all's bond is pretty tight, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I'm slowly becoming a better person. So that's definitely a big bonus.
Hey, you can't ask for more than that in a partner, man. That's awesome. Well, congrats on that huge achievement. So is there any sort of health tip or something you do on a daily basis that keeps your body ready?
Yeah. I would say in the last year, yoga's been, become a little, definitely a more frequent, thing I've done. I mean, I'd say 3 to 4 days a week for 30 to 40 minutes.
That it'll change your life.
Yeah.
And this you might already answer this. Biggest goal not yet achieved. Is that the FKT coming up?
Oh, I would say biggest goal not yet achieved is winning Tour de Jean. That is, I think about it daily, man.
Well, good luck with that. And lastly, you know, to wrap it all up, what does it mean to you, and how do you live without compromise?
Not being afraid of achieving goals, and not being afraid of things that seem quite difficult and scary. And I think that's what the way they're supposed to be. And, you know, going after them without limiting myself.
Awesome words of wisdom. Awesome story. Thanks for opening up and just sharing. And, you know, it's so many things parallel with our journey as a brewery, as weird as that seems, just this giant mountain in front of you that and you just go for it. And then the next thing you know, you're on this adventure. So it sounds like you're just living that every day, which is so cool to see. So Avery, thanks for joining us, man, on Without Compromise.
Absolutely, Mason. I appreciate it.
All right. See you, man.
All right. Later.
First of all, thank you so much for listening. It means the world to us that you choose to listen to this show. If you'd like to help us further, you can leave a review on iTunes, share us with your friends, your family. It goes a long way to grow in the show. You can also support us financially through patreon.com/adventuresportspodcast. Link is in the show notes. And also, if you have an idea of who could be a good guest for the show, we're always looking for people to tell their story about the outdoors or adventure. So if you know someone, please reach out. Email us at info@adventuresportspodcast.com. And until then, get out there and have some fun.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.